about digital harmonization, and you'll notice that I didn't correct the spelling there. This is work that's been done at the University of Sydney in Australia. And this group down there, just a little bit of background if you're not familiar, and I'm sure that most of you have heard of Dr. McBratney, Alex McBratney. But they're an interesting group to work with. They really take a different approach towards digital soul mapping. And they're really talented, but I think they're also creative. So I think what he's done here in trying to harmonize some of our soil survey information, SIRGO information, into more consistent information is a pretty unique process and a pretty unique approach. Now, you see there's four collaborators here. Sun Wei is a postdoctorate. She's actually from China, and she's doing some work down there at the University of Sydney. Alex is the PI in this. Budiman Manasi is a professor there with Alex. And Brendan Malone is a doctorate candidate. So I worked with these people, provided them the data and a little bit of direction on how our data is structured. They did most of the work and came up with this process. Now I see Lee Burris is here. He's on the paper. And the problem with this is that I've been the one directing them on this. And I really need more people to provide ideas. So Lee, I'm going to invite you to be part of this as we move forward, because this is a work in progress. And you'll see at the end, we're looking for more people to help us take a look at this process and help refine it. So what we did is we took four SIRGO counties down in southeastern Iowa, south central Iowa, right in here, and pulled those all together. And you can see the issue with harmonization as you look at that. And they were produced at different times with different leadership. But the point here is that it's often found on geopolitical boundaries, the counties and states do not match. And it's pretty clear when you look along the county boundaries that there are some real issues with harmonization. Now, the thing that we don't talk about, we talk about the issue at the boundaries, but in addition, there's issues internally as well. And if you look in Monroe County, and I actually did some work here in Monroe County, these blue sections here are a specific soil. They don't show up, right next door in Wapello or down in Appanoose. And you would think that particular soil, that concept would have flowed more naturally. And it's interesting, when I was working there, and I was, this has been many years ago, when we went to the border, we were concerned with what was joined at the border and how it looked, but we didn't make any attempt to actually join it. We documented, yes, there was an issue here, but we didn't make an attempt to join. So I'm not certain why we took that tack back, and this has been many years ago, but so that has been an issue. So what Brad and his group did is says, well, let's take a look at this and we'll see if we can harmonize this together. So again, just a little bit about the reasons for these mismatching. There's structuring problems with the soil survey program that change over time. Adjacent counties were mapped years apart, different personnels, different philosophies of soil survey and availability of technologies may all lead to these issues of not joining very well. And the interesting thing is, we talk about internally at the state lines, it can be even worse. And one of those, a good point of that is this is the Missouri-Iowa border right down here in the bottom. And everything is mapped at 1 to 12,000 here in Iowa, 1 to 24,000 in Missouri. So you can imagine the difficulties we have in matching soil concepts across that. So again, just a little bit of background. I'm sure you all understand how soil surveys, NRCS soil surveys are structured. Polygon-based surveys typically delineate the landscape in the map units. Map units are made up of components. Components equate to soil series. These occur in predictable patterns. And some map units are dominated by one series. Most have a combination of series that make up the map unit. So the aim of this, look at various numeric approaches to harmonize concepts for adjacent soil surveys. And again, the University of Sydney people, their expertise lies in looking at things from a quantitative standpoint. So they're going to break this information and quantify it. So what they did, they produced two products for us. One was a raster component map with probabilities of series at each point. And they went ahead and harmonized the map unit map in a four-county area. And it's interesting, when I was talking to McBratney about this, you know, he wasn't really very impressed with number two here. He said it wasn't very interesting just to take the map units and harmonize them. So he was more interested in breaking these maps, breaking the components down, and then and analyzing it from that standpoint. So these are the four counties, just a little bit of background information on those. You can see that it's interesting that they were correlated, you know, several years apart. There's a fairly decent consistency in the number of map units that were correlated in each of the surveys, and a fairly decent consistency in the number of series. But it is a very large data set with 48 million pixels, and what we did is rasterize this information in 10-meter grid to match the USGS DEM. So, you know, we're trying to determine, you know, where he could work. And I chose South Central Iowa because, number one, I was familiar with the landscapes down there. Number two, it's a fairly predictable landscape. So we thought if we're going to cut our teeth in this kind of methodology, we wanted to, you know, go somewhere where there's a good soil-landscape relationship. And it's basically is less covered till plains. In most places, there's a paleosol that's been truncated into the Illinois or the Kansan till, actually. Most series have biosequence catenas, so there's a series developed for a prairie, the savanna, or transition in the forest. So what we did to prepare the database, we went in, looked at the legend, and then looked at the components that are in each of the map units. So this is just one for Armstrong. And so you can see the dominant component is Armstrong with 85%, and then there's some minor components that are that make up the map unit. So the unfortunate thing about the soil survey, the NRCS soil survey database, is this information isn't contained in the database. So you have to go back into the legacy information and draw this out. So their idea was here is that they wanted to disaggregate these map units right from the very beginning. So they developed a process to look at an individual pixel, and they did a random approach as to whether it would be, you know, Armstrong, Guerra, Pershing, Rinda, or Weller at that individual pixel based on a random approach. And the approach would weight things towards, you know, the dominant component there, which would be Armstrong. So we spent a lot of time preparing this database for the four counties and aggregating all this information together. And of course, I just wanted to give an example here. We went back to the printed soil surveys and dug out the component information. So that's where we came up with the components for each of these. So it's unfortunate that information isn't readily available. So covariate preparation, we use the USGS NED 10-meter elevation available across the four-county area. And they went in and created these covariates: elevation, slope in degrees, length, slope factor, topographic wetness, altitude above channel, and aspect. So they use those as the landscape covariates to do their predictions. So here's the method they use. So, you know, we already talked about preparing a database and a table that summarizes the map units and their components. So what they did is they went in and took 1% of the 4.8 million raster cells. Okay, and they selected those systematically. And then based on the definition of the map unit, in terms of the components, one series by the random sampling process I described earlier, and they used that as the prediction. So they produced a prediction model from those 480,000 pixels and their landscape covariates, and applied this to the remaining 4.3 million. So now you have a map that has a series prediction at every 10 meters for all 4.8 million pixels. Okay? They reiterated this process 100 times. So they went back in and resampled on the next iteration, the next 480,000 pixels, and created that same prediction map for the rest of the area. So now you have 100 pixels, or 100 maps, with a soil series at every pixel. And they made sure that they analyzed every pixel in the four-county area in this process. So are you following what I'm saying? Is that making sense? Okay. Okay, so with these 100 predictions, they can now look at the most probable frequency for the soils in those 100 pixels. And this is just a little schematic of what it might look like. So you're looking down at 100 maps, same pixel all the way through. And they analyze those 100 pixels and come up with the most probable soil series at that point. Make sense? It's a lot of data, incredible amount of data. So again, I'm running out of time, but this just kind of reiterates the method here. I'm going to skip by that real quickly so we can get to results. So this is the results when they took the most dominant pixel in all the 48 million pixels across those four county areas. This is the map they got, and I think you can see that we've lost a lot of the boundaries, a lot of lines now. So I'm pretty happy with the results that came out. Now the one issue is we're trying to deal with is how do you validate this, and you can see that's one of the points in moving forward. So they also produced a probability map of each pixel, and you can see the darker the area, the more probable it was that it was that prediction. So I think that there's some fairly decent probability in this whole thing. So they can also take and produce probabilities for individual soil series, and we've got two here, the Lindley and Clarinda on the right. And again, how probable is that particular series in that section of the four county area? And they took a probability and tried to look at it a different way. So they took the top three series, added them together, each pixel, and then used that as the probability indicator. And I think they got a little better prediction now. From a probability standpoint. So again, what they like to do is take this information and create property maps from this. So we now have the horizon data for each of the pixels. They went in and created a spline, which they have a program that they do. And from this, now we can make predictions and aggregations at any depths for these properties, for any given property along that spline. So what they did here is they looked at pH, broke that out into different depths, and mapped that pH for the entire four county area based on that spline information. And the same thing for carbon. So Tom, I have a little bit of time left. Wanted to talk about this piece that's not so interesting to McBratney, the predicted map unit. They used the same process, only they didn't break things down into series. They kept the map unit. So they went into all 4.8 million pixels, defined the map unit, and used the iterations, the 100 iterations, and predicted the map unit across those 4.8 million pixels. And then they went in and produced this map on the right. Now, I think this is fairly interesting when you look at this. So this is a harmonized map unit map now. So the colors equal a map unit, not an individual series. And you can see most of the lines have gone away. But the interesting thing to me is that the integrity from the original mapping in many places is maintained. So if you look at this area in the northeast part of the study area, you can see that through their prediction, a lot of that was maintained. So I'm just going to skip through that. That's just a little blow up of the actual area. But you can see the level of, this is the meeting point of the four county area. You can see the level of non-join in that area. And if you look down here where they've actually harmonized this together, they really improved the map greatly, I think. So, conclusions, they proposed a digital harmonization for the four county. And he's really interested in looking at series and not map units. And saying that this has an advantage of creating soil landscape rules that can be applied to all areas, create probability maps for the soil series, and useful in making the soil property maps, which we saw earlier. So future work. He thinks there's a need to do some work with the taxonomic distance, because I've highlighted here, the air predictions might be lessened if he understood how close some of these taxonomic units are together, which he doesn't. Validation, I mentioned, you know, there's a couple ways we could do this. We could send an army of people out to collect points in the field and compare those to the prediction. That's probably not something we want to do because of the time and energy commitment. So he's saying that we could have expert knowledge, someone to look at it and you know, give them some feedback as to how well this prediction is working. But from my standpoint, you know, I'd like to try this process in different parts of the U.S. and see if it actually works, and particularly in areas of Order 3 and Order 4 where we're looking to get more detail in the mapping. And as I started off, I'd like to have additional collaborators that can help me work with them to refine this process. So I think that's it.